Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Text number 29.
Dwariyetayur nivivishur mishatok asprishtva purvayata puratavadrakapatikaya sarvatvate vishamaya munayat swadrishtya ye sancharant yavihita vigatabi shankha dwari
in the door
etayo
both doorkeepers
nivivishu
entered
vishato
while seeing
Aprishtva,
without asking.
Purva,
as before. Yata,
as.
Purata,
made of gold.
Vajra,
and in diamond.
Kapatikaha,
the doors.
Yaha,
which?
Sarvatra,
everywhere.
They.
Avishamaya,
without any sense of discrimination.
Munayaha,
the great sages.
Swadhrishtya,
out of their own will.
Yea,
who?
Sanjaranti,
move.
Avihata,
without being checked.
Vigata,
without.
Obishanka,
doubt. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The great sages, headed by Sanaka, had opened doors everywhere. They had no idea of ours and theirs. With open minds, they entered the seventh door out of their own will, just as they had passed through the six other doors, which were made of gold and diamonds. Purport. The great sages, namely Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumara, although very old in years, maintained themselves eternally as small children. They were not at all duplicitous, and they entered the doors exactly as little children enter places without any idea of what it is to trespass. That is a child's nature. A child can enter any place, and no one checks him. Indeed, a child is generally welcome in his attempts to go places. But if it so happens that a child is checked from entering a door, he naturally becomes very sorry and angry. That is the nature of a child. In this case, the same thing happened. The childlike, saintly personalities entered all the six doors of the palace, and no one checked them. Therefore, when they attempted to enter the seventh door, and were forbidden by the doormen, who checked them with their sticks, they naturally became very angry and sorrowful. An ordinary child would cry, but because they were not ordinary children, they immediately made preparations to punish the doormen. For the doorman had committed a great offense. Even to this day, a saintly person is never checked from entering anyone's door in India.
So Prabhupada has presented here everything that's stated in the commentaries
he's incorporated it into his translation and made the point about, I don't think it's mentioned in any of the commentaries, because they were behaving like children. Although the word sabhava is there in one of the commentaries. They're acting according to their sabhava, and Prabhupada is elaborating on that. He's making it presentable to most of us who are not scholars, not very analytic thinkers. He's made it understandable in his purport, very simple graphic terms. They are sages.
They are actually very old personalities. In fact, practically the oldest living beings in the universe. Now, we call someone who's very old a dinosaur, but these sages are much older than the dinosaurs have come and gone hundreds of thousands of times. The dinosaurs have gone extinct hundreds of thousands of times since the birth of the four Kumaras.
There are Chiranjiva sages. Vyasadeva is a young boy. He's only 5,000 years old. Markandeya Rishi's been around for 7 manvantaras. Is he still around? I don't know. He was blessed to live for 7 manvantaras. Most demigods only rule for 1 manvantara, though they may live longer, but they're out of office. Manus even. Their period of reign is only 1 manvantara. Some living beings stay in the same bodies for the whole duration of the living end of the universe, and that's only Brahma, the Kumaras, and a few of their associates. Even the sages on the lower planets below Tapaloka, Maharloka, and so on, they generally don't live beyond 1 or a few manvantaras. Bhrigu and the other grihastas, only if you're a naishtika brahmachari, then you can maintain your life indefinitely, as long as the material universe exists. Possibly, that's the limit for a most perfect yogi, like the four Kumaras. That is their specialty, is their yoga meditation. Their devotional service is meditational. We read in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Gopu Kumara visits Tapoloka, he finds that, first of all, he can't find Krishna. There's no external manifestation of the Lord, no deity, no incarnation present on Tapaloka. Because everyone's meditating, everything that's going on there is going on inside. He just sees everyone sitting around doing nothing. When he tries to approach the four Kumaras themselves, or actually when he tries to approach any of the residents, nobody will even talk to him. Nobody will even greet him and respond to his questions. So he has some difficulty at first, and then finally he, calms down and gets into the mood of Tapaloka and also sits down to meditate. And then the residents greet him, finally. They talk to him after that, but when he's coming in here, waving his arms and screaming, nobody will talk to him. And the four Kumaras try, Sanat Kumar especially, I think, tries to indoctrinate him in the ways and mood of Tapaloka, but he doesn't really catch on. He doesn't really have a taste for it. He's wondering, where is my Lord? Everywhere else in creation I've seen him, but here I can't. So in order to show him what's actually going on, the four Kumaras, all four of them, show all the various forms of Godhead within themselves. Transform themselves into images of all the major incarnations of the Lord, including Gopal. Then Gopal Kumar is convinced, wow, and he feels that he's been offensive to his spiritual guides, not appreciating that they've got Govind in their hearts. How does it go? Yam Shama Sunda. This premanjana shurita bhakti vilochanena santap sadaiva vidayeshu vilokayamti yam shama sundaram achintya guna sarupam
Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
Those who are successful in the yoga practice of meditation and of controlling the breath, of pranayama, of withdrawing the senses from all external activities, pratyahara, of focusing the mind, dhyana and dharana, deep meditation. Dharana is first, I'm sorry. Focusing the mind is dharana. The practical, whether it's the actual ancient system, but in medieval and modern yoga practices, dharana usually means meditating on the energy centers within the body, the chakras and nadis, and the movements of prana within the body. Pranayama, you bring it under physical control, and by that you bring the mind under control. But then the mind can withdraw the senses from external engagements in pratyahara, and then begin to meditate on the subtle processes within, the movements and transformations of prana within the body in the different vital energy centers. That's dharana. It's mostly meditating on your own subtle body. But dhyana is focusing on a real object of meditation, the soul, and successful dhyana, which progresses to samadhi, is meditation on the super soul, Paramatma, which is the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is the four-armed Vishnu form, stationary form, localized within one's own heart region. Again, the heart, the yogi who has come up that far is not meditating on his physical body anymore. His attention is on his subtle body. So the heart means the heart region of the subtle body. There, the super soul manifests himself and the yogi can see him. But there is Vaishnava practice of yoga that goes beyond that. Those whose eyes are smeared with the ointment of love. Premanjana Churita. You can develop yogi eyes, yogi pratyaksha, to perceive part. You can get prema, which is a much greater accomplishment than samadhi. Brahmabhuta prasanatma, the Brahmabhuta samadhi achiever, prasanatma, he's perfectly satisfied. Even living in this material world, he's satisfied in any situation. Nothing can shake him from his satisfaction. He's peaceful. Prasanna. Prasad means to be clear. It applies to water. When water is not agitated and it's not muddy, when you can see through the water, it's called prasad. Prasanna. Clear. The mind, metaphorically, when it's not agitated and you can see clearly, that's the prasanna mind. A mind that is undisturbed is naturally also happy, satisfied. So the word by extension comes to mean satisfied. And then prasada is the noun. Clarity, satisfaction, also means grace. Because the person, when you're reciprocating with someone else, the person who is superior and has more power than you, if he satisfied you, he can give you his grace, his kindness, his blessings. That's called prasada, the mercy of the Lord. And then, by a fourth extension, third extension, it means prasadam, the ISKCON word, you know, what we eat, and the garlands we wear, and so on. That's prasadam. What the Lord gives you, or the devotee gives you, when he is showing his special kindness because he is satisfied, because his mind is peaceful, not agitated, who's this jerk? You know, committing offenses. You know, what do I have to do to correct him? But he's satisfied. Oh, this is a serious devotee. He's doing nice. Therefore, he's peaceful, satisfied, shows his mercy, and you get the mercy in the form of prasadam. Extended meaning of the word. Krishna uses it, prasanatma. His whole existence becomes peaceful, satisfied. That is the samadhi realization stage of perfected Paramatma realization. Nishochati na kankshati. Tatra ka moha
Kakshoka Atmanam Anupashyataha. If one properly sees the Atma, the Paramatma, and Anupashyata also means sees everywhere, not just in one place, but wherever he looks, he sees the Paramatma, in everyone else's heart, and in the spaces in between, in every atom, he sees the Paramatma. Katra, Tatra, in that case, Kamoha, Kashoka, what question is there of him suffering confusion or unhappiness, distress? No, there is no distress or confusion for him. He understands everything clearly and he's peaceful and satisfied. Nishochati nakamshati. He doesn't lament it, he doesn't have something. He doesn't hanker to get things. Therefore, he doesn't see any friends or enemies because he's not trying to get something out of the material world, so no one's an obstacle, no one's to be exploited to get what he needs. He doesn't need anything. If you don't need anything, then no one's your friend and no one's your enemy. It's when we need things, then we have to fight over who gets it and struggle to get it and struggle to keep it and not let anybody steal it. Then we have friends and enemies. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu. And therefore, one is fit to advance beyond the ordinary samadhi stage to mad bhaktim param, pure devotional service. That's the postgraduate stage for the perfected yogis. The four kumaras, they are on that level. They see not in their heart Paramatma, they see Shyama Sundara, because their eyes are smeared with the ointment of the love of God. Maybe not yet, but as soon as they're ready, they're ripe to achieve that stage. They don't have prema, but there's nothing blocking them except that they haven't gotten the seed. The seed will be implanted in their hearts, not implanted, but awakened by their smelling the tulsi patram, on the feet of Narayan when he comes in person to greet them. I don't know if the verse is here, it's probably the other canto, how by smelling that fragrance, their minds became agitated. Forget their persona state, their minds were completely mixed up, agitated, but agitated and elevated to the higher level of prema, in which a devotee, a yogi, sees, a real yogi, sees Shyamasundara in his heart and everywhere. That's who we're dealing with. Sages who are about to achieve the Lord's ultimate blessing of prema. Not yet, but they're ready for it. We should become ready for it. That's the purpose of, we're not practicing the Patanjali system of yoga, we're practicing Rupa Goswami's system of bhakti yoga. In Kali Yuga, some are preaching that there's no bhakti yoga. That bhakti yoga was taught in the Gita, but modern age were not qualified. Arjuna was hardly qualified. He rejected the meditation. And Krishna just told him, Sarva Dharma Parityaja, just forget everything else and just surrender to me. So even Arjuna was ultimately taught simple prapapti. Just surrender to Krishna. Trust him. He'll take care of you. You're not a great yogi. But I taught about this yoga system because that's the traditional system. But Arjuna, you just surrender to me. Go ahead and fight. You know, we can't make a yogi out of you. But I will protect you from all your sinful reactions, for all this killing and other sinful things you're doing. And I'll take you back to me. So that's our prapatti yoga. But actually, Rupa Goswami is teaching a system of sadhana bhakti yoga, things to do. Yeah, depend on Krishna, but we're supposed to do a few things to show to Krishna that we're trying to depend on him. By our sadhana bhakti yoga system, we are preparing to receive the blessing of prema. That is business. That's the purpose of sadhana bhakti. Get ourselves fit and ready to receive prema. For prema to be awakened through the natural stages, awakened in our heart. Bhava janmane. The purposes of the angas of Vaidhi bhakti, especially the five most special angas, is for awakening prema in the heart, or bhava, which is the preliminary phase of prema. It doesn't happen automatically. It's not that, okay, here I am in Mantra Mandala, where's the prema? It predisposes you to be ready to receive it. Krishna gives it. The deputized, authorized agents of Krishna, his pure devotees, give it when they see that you're ready for it. When they are pleased to give it to you, it's their choice. It doesn't come just by executing the yungas. But by executing the yungas, you're receptive and ready to receive it. That's the whole reason why we're performing the sadhana we're doing. Well, you know, the shastra is on the broom. Move the broom, it is. Okay. Anyway, that's it. That's the purpose of everything we're doing. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
I heard a few classes that sometimes yogis meditating yogis after seeing Paramatma in their heart, they consider Paramatma to be oneself, to please, and then he falls down after considering. So how is it that yogi, I mean, to see Paramatma you have to have some, I mean, not some, but you have to have devotion. And then having this devotion, he, after seeing Paramatma, he considers to be himself.
Those who are mostly interested in doing yoga and getting samadhi and they're not really sure what it is, but they want it. Samadhi is a vague idea. You know, what it actually amounts to, you'll find out when you get it. That's you know, the yoga teachings. So they're yogis, they're practicing like that. They don't have a clear devotional concept or motivation. But yes, they have to have a seed, a trace of devotion, some little devotion to succeed in their samadhi attempts. But it may not be enough. They may have 1%, one fraction of percent of devotion for Krishna, for some form of Krishna. But it's not enough to straighten out their understanding. They still can misunderstand. You know, when your devotion is very much subordinate, when it's only a small fraction of what your motivation is, then it can be covered over. It can be obliterated, or rather, the 99 other percent can overpower your intelligence and mind. So your understanding is wrong. An immature devotee can be swayed by wrong ideas. So you can see the super soul if you only have a tiny speck of devotion and misidentify. Not necessarily fall down after that. That can be corrected, or you get stuck on a certain level. It's not necessarily a fall down. Something is achieved by realizing the Paramatma, even if you misidentify him.
Because usually, the Paramatma level is, realizing Paramatma is considered a higher level than Brahma, it means that he is already on the Brahma Buddha platform. If he sees Paramatma, he's really, and then like in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Buddha Prasanna Maha, when he is a Shoshiti in a Kanchiti, and then he is equal to and just doesn't demand, then Bhakti begins.
But it doesn't have to begin. You might get stuck on that level. It's possible there's a kind of realization which doesn't properly discriminate between the two atmas. You know, it's a generic atma realization where you don't distinguish between the jivatma and the paramatma. And there is a degree of equality, so there's some validity to it in generic atma realization. The Upanishads often are speaking on that level of generic atma understanding. So one who gets stuck on the generic level, the indifferent realization of just atma as atma, making no difference between jivatma and paramatma, qualitative oneness, may not get beyond it. He may get stuck on that level. That's possible. Or you can fall down from it, or you can get corrected and go beyond it.
This level of oneness, it's on the Brahman platform, and just when somebody tries to realize, and when he goes beyond that, he tries to meditate on Paramatma. I mean, and that oneness, I mean, he passes over that oneness. And, yeah.
Well, Brahman realization is in its vaguest form, is just negation of everything material. That there's an absolute truth. Just the realization there is an absolute truth. But you may not realize any of the qualities of the absolute truth. In Paramatma realization, there is realization of the qualities. Satchit Ananda, and also actual Paramatma realization, is to realize him as a person. He's the person who's controlling everything. Paramatma is the controller of all the energies. Okay, whatever energy exists is emanating from and controlled by the Paramatma. You realize that. You may also realize that you are a small Atma yourself. You may have a vague or almost missing understanding of the difference between you and that big, the small Atma and the big Atma. You may think, even having gone that far, even beginning to understand, or even getting some clear understanding, after realization, that the Paramatma is the possessor and controller of all the energies. You know, in this sense, that's God. You know, it's a level of realization of God. You may get that. You may get that, not just theoretical understanding, but you may see it with your own eyes. And still be a little confused about the difference between you and the Paramatma. Because the qualities are the same. I'm just a little Paramatma. When I get big, I can be a big Paramatma. You know? Childless understanding. Child thinks that he can be anything. And they teach him in the modern schools, you can be anything you want to be. That's a lie. You can't. You're not going to be allowed to be whatever you want to be. Your employer is going to try to cheat you and keep you in a certain position. You can get a job with AT&T, one of the biggest corporations in the world. They'll pay you a lousy, you know, salary, and they'll make sure you don't make good advancement, unless you're lucky, unless you, you know, cut everybody else's throat. You're going to be stuck in a lousy job most of your life. You can't be whatever you want to be. It's a lie. But, you know, that lie gets, you know, it's a misconception that I'm an Atma, I'm Satchitananda. You know, I can also be Paramatma when I get big. So that misunderstanding can be there, even in Paramatma realization. It's strange. From our point of view, it's strange. But we have a clearer understanding. And, you know, it's strange why someone would be confused, but it's possible.
So it means that Paramatma level is mostly achieved just by physical, mechanical means. No devotion doesn't play a big role.
It doesn't play a big role. It's a very subtle mechanism. You know, it has to be a mental, you know, it has to be discipline of the mind, not just of the body, but yes. But material.
So, and usually we say, in some sense, Paramatma is, not in some sense, but is the representation of the Lord. I mean, and personal representation.
He is the Lord, but he's not, he's only partly manifest.
So, and we say, I mean, in Shastra, we said that he cannot be achieved by the speed of mind, he cannot be just achieved by this and that.
Not by pranayama, but by samadhi, yes. Yeah, so pranayama, the speed of the wind is the yogis who are practicing pranayama.
It is mentioned by any mechanical means, so to speak. And even, like in the Mother Yashoda's case, that she was trying to thank Krishna. And says,
Hare Baba, please come in, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Please come in. We're having some sort of class here. We're done, but...
No, I'm interrupting your class.
No, we're done. We're done. Oh. Bring a chair. Oh, but okay. Jupiter was just going to come and deliver the book. Okay.
Opportunity to visit this chakra of learning.
Oh, this is a den of iniquity. It's really a mess. We're straightening out things. We're rearranging our library.